British want to go after Libya's oil revenue.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. President Obama and British Prime Minister David Cameron have agreed to look at a whole host of options in response to the crisis in Libya. Besides any kind of military intervention on the table, the British have come up with a financial crackdown, which would block Libya and the regime of Muammar Gaddafi from profiting off of any oil sales. From London, here's Marketplace's Stephen Beard.
The world has already tightened the screw on Gaddafi's personal finances. Many of his assets and those of his family and cronies have been frozen. But the country is still producing some oil, and analysts reckon the regime is still making at least $150 million a week selling it on the world market. Now the Brits are urging the United Nations to stop this flow, to divert the cash into a special account. The account would be run by the UN on behalf of the Libyan people. Speaking in Parliament, Foreign Secretary William Hague spelt out the benefit of such a plan.
To reduce the financial flows to the Gaddafi regime, which of course may be used to support the level of violence and attempts to suppress the protests.
Yesterday, the European Union stepped up the financial pressure on Gaddafi. It imposed sanctions on the country's main investment arm, with assets worth $70 billion. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The price of cocoa today is near a three-decade high, and that means chocolate's about to get more expensive. A possible civil war in Ivory Coast has its former leader fighting to hold on to power after losing an election last year. One tactic he's using is exerting more control of the nation's billion-dollar cocoa industry. The BBC's John James is with us from Abidjan with an update this morning. Hi, John.
Hi there.
Ivory Coast today says it's going to buy these cocoa beans at a fixed price from farmers and then sell them on the world market. Is this the nationalization of cocoa?
Yes, I mean, this is a country where cocoa is by far and away the most important industry. And in terms of world production, this is where more than a third of the world's cocoa come from. Because of the political crisis here, beans aren't being exported because of a boycott and because of sanctions on the ports as well. So, yes, the government's trying to take control of production, only they'll have the right to buy beans at the farms and then exporting them themselves to try and get some of that revenue back.
Now, John, cocoa prices are at a 30-year high. Does this mean it's going to be more expensive chocolate for the rest of us around the world?
There's probably a good chance that will happen because, as you say, cocoa prices are high, and that's because of the problems here in Ivory Coast. And the problems don't seem to be on the way to being resolved anytime soon. I'm sure chocolate manufacturers will have to pass on those high prices for what is the essential ingredient in chocolate onto the consumers.
The BBC's John James in Ivory Coast. John, thanks.
Thank you.
Global stocks are mixed right now. German share slightly higher, but stocks in London are down. European customers were a big help to McDonald's, which reported higher global sales for February. Europe accounts for 40% of Mickey D's business. McDonald's U.S. growth, though, was much weaker. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow was up 1%, 124 points to end the day at 12,214.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD as well as online savings account and money market account. Learn more at allybank.com. By Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at microsoft.com/cloud. And by Progressive Insurance, helping people shop for car insurance at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com.
Libyan violence, high gas prices, climate change. And yet these days, it's hard to shake Mark Stevenson of his rose-colored glasses. In his new book that's just out, the author takes the challenging subject of a future wrought with problems and makes those problems a bit more palatable. Stevenson wrote the book The Optimist's Tour of the Future. He's with us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, with the threats all around us, disease and climate change and just overall bad people, why are you such an optimist?
I'm not saying the future will definitely be better, but what I am doing is putting a few of those good options back on the table, because we tend to sort of throw the baby out with the bathwater. So the book is actually quite well balanced, but it's balanced in the fact that it covers all the good stuff as well, which we don't get to hear enough about.
Well, I want to focus on the bad things, since you're the optimist here. There's so much doom and gloom out there, especially about climate change, that the planet is changing. How can we be optimistic about it?
Well, the climate change argument is something we do need to be very worried about. But there are a number of things we can do now to solve that problem. Just one example is a man based out of Columbia University called Klaus Lackner. And he's invented a machine that can scrub carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere very cheaply. And he just needs $20 million to turn his prototype into a manufacturable unit. And 100 million of those would solve the problem. That sounds like a lot of technology, but you have to remember that we make 73 million cars every year.
How do we harness the best of what society will have to offer and use it as opportunity? I mean, is it only a matter of good timing, or how did people prepare for this?
When we talk about innovation, we talk very much about what's happening in medicine or technology or even, you know, fashion, dance and music. These areas where we're used to talking about rapid innovation. But the one place that doesn't seem to innovate very quickly is government. The way that government operates really hasn't changed much for 300 years. And so it's very hard for them to keep pace with the change that is happening elsewhere, which means that you have this disconnect between legislation and technology, and that can be dangerous. So I think what we really need to do is re-architect the way some of our institutions work to more rapidly innovate in the way they deal with information.
What do you say to pessimists?
For me, it's about making sure that you aim in the right direction, saying, look, we still have faith now in our ability to make things better, but let's use our critical thinking skills and our intellect to make sure we do that with evidence rather than emotion.
Mark Stevenson, author of An Optimist's Tour of the Future. Mark, thanks.
Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it.
And finally, police officers on Monday spent a couple of hours picking up tens of thousands of dollars along a busy highway north of Columbus, Ohio. They don't know where it came from. Authorities checked with the FBI, armored car companies, and bank couriers. No one reported any cash missing. I know what happened. Somebody probably just left the money they were going to pay for gas on top of their car. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles, online at marketplace.org and on Twitter at Radio Chio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Clinical trials are some of the most important and expensive things that drug companies do. So they're outsourcing.
The number one reason why companies come to Russia is that they can enroll patients in Russia anywhere from 3 to 20 times faster than in either North America or Western Europe.
I'm Kai Rizdal. The doctor is in Moscow. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.